You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modgepodge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com and Sirius, XMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, Ben, the research bear, the king of takes, Ben Barron out in the octagon, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle. I'm back. I'm exhausted. I'm a father. I'm a new man, and I'm privy to a club that none of you will ever understand unless you have a child. Which
of you will ever understand.
You could do this. I'm not saying you couldn't.
This is how you return?
No, I'm not saying
after
you couldn't.
3 weeks away, this is how he returns.
Yeah, this is a triumphant, exhausted, running on fumes. It's like a bike, like Doyle said as we were getting ready for the show. I hop on and, you know, it's good. It feels good to be back.
It sounds like it feels exhausting to be back. Are we the cause of your exhaustion, or is the new addition the cause of your exhaustion?
Cameron Russell Wiebe is by far the cause of my exhaustion. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like... I feel like a fringe player under Jurgen Klinsmann. I'm just moving all over the field. I don't know what position I'm in. I'm just learning as I go. The directions are very unclear, and I'm just trying to figure it out. And I'm not at my best just yet, but I'm learning quickly.
It takes time, just like with everything else, you know.
Yeah.
With you, it might take a little more time. We never really know.
Yeah, that's true. We're in a new spot. We're at the MLS Digital Studios, which is cool. We'll come up with a name for this at some point, like – I don't know. It's like the upside down here, a la Stranger Things.
I mean, technically,
because there's a pitch on the wall.
Yeah, it's really weird. Technically, we are in the green room of the studio.
Ah.
So is it the green room?
Oh.
Or is it because it's two on the nose because it's actually is the green room?
I don't know. This has to be natural. We'll come up with that as it comes. Of course, this is MLS Cup week, one of the best weeks of the year. Toronto FC hosting the Seattle Sounders on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, Unimas, TSN in Canada, TVA Sports north of the border as well. We, of course, will spend this week breaking all that down. That doesn't mean there's not news around the MLS world. There is a lot of news. Today, the Landon Donovan MLS MVP award was awarded. I guess that's the way you would say it. Diego Valeri. No surprise there.
I guess that's right.
We'll figure that out.
Just before you get into that, we do cover the 20 other teams. This is all
happily so.
You know, it is MLS Cup week. That's the biggest story. But, you know, we've gotten people in the past, why are you talking about the other teams? Like, we cover MLS.
Yeah. I'm interested in all of it. There are rumors galore. There is also a radio show that are one of our favorites. And maybe, I don't know. He's a split figure here. Jermaine Jones is going to have a radio show. You could be the host of it with him. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Jurgen Klinsmann will find his way into the mailbag as well. We'll talk about some rumors in Red Bull's land. Colorado Rapids got some players rolling on the tongue. Atlanta United, of course, is doing their thing, going down to Argentina. And Jossie Zardes, perhaps on the block. We'll get to that all in just 1 second. David Goss is not here today, but he did get a little bit of swag this morning before he took off for Toronto. He got a pair of JLab headphones, and he always complains to me that he doesn't have headphones. For every show, he's like, hey, can I borrow your headphones? Do you have some headphones? And I always have to give them to him.
This isn't just a bit. This is actually happening.
Yes.
Every week, I'm told by Goss. I'm asked by guys,
right.
Where are your headphones?
So JLab Audio is now the MLS official audio partner, which is awesome because they gave both Goss and I free headphones, and now I feel kind of guilty because they didn't give you guys free headphones, but it's just the way it goes.
Because I'm just a bit player.
Yeah. Well, you're coming up. Uh-huh. You're coming up. By the way, the winners of MLS Cup will receive a yet-to-be-released pair of Epic Sport wireless earbuds from JLab. An exclusive new color. That's JLab Blue. So go check those out. It's pretty cool. Dave is feeling pretty good, I'm sure, listening to his Bluetooth headphones on the way to Toronto. Let's dig into things, guys. We'll get to the tactics and nitty-gritty on Thursday's show. Today, it's a little bit more of an overview. And, of course, all of those conversations will also happen on MLS Cup Central. That's every night from Wednesday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Matt and I are holding things down here in New York City from the studio. Tim Melia, Dax McCarty, Diego Valeri, Julian Gressel, Aiko Parra, who's who of MLS award winners will be here with us. You can also win an MLS match ball if you're part of the show. Go to MLSsoccer.com/playoffs to submit a question or comment. Okay, let's get into the game. I'm so happy I'm going to be here. The forecast, not as bad as last year. High of 34, low of 23. 4 p.m. is a good time for those of you who are not able to deal with the cold.
I mean, you feel like you're in it. Like, last year, I was outside for the game.
I
was in the outdoor press box. You feel like you're in it. Like, I don't want to be in this sterile studio just watching the game on TV like any other game.
Okay.
I want to be in it. Fine. I want to be juiced. The crowd, I can't wait to hear O Canada again. It's going to be great.
Yeah, actually, O Canada at BMO in the playoffs in MLS Cup, it really is like a spine-tingling moment. So pay attention to that on the broadcast. Last year, game time temp was 28 degrees. I'm cool not being in it, by the way. KC in 2013, if you're wondering what the coldest MLS Cup of all time was, that was it, 22 degrees, and that was misery. Alan Chapman will be the referee for this one. David Gantar will be the VAR, video assistant referee, which is the first time this has happened in a championship game. This could have an effect on who wins the title, Doyle. So it's a huge thing. Look, I think these two guys have earned their places here, but it's all a matter of margins. So every little detail from the forecast, which they're saying maybe there could be a little bit of precipitation, all that matters, because when I look at these two teams, it really is razor edge. I know Toronto FC has the resume. They're perhaps the best MLS team in history, but they haven't been playing like it. This could go either way.
No, it could. And like you said, there are, you know, the margins are thin, and it could be everything from a call not given, or to maybe the wrong call given, or usage of replay, a little bit of precipitation. Anything can come into play. Honestly, I think back to last year's final. Sebastian Giovinco seemed to really struggle with the cold. His first touch was off. He just wasn't sharp with his movements. Maybe that's something that we'll see again this year. On the flip side, Nicolas Ladero was not effective in that game at all. You don't know whether that was just because Toronto were so dominant on the day, or maybe he was affected a little bit by the cold. There's always 100 different variables. And when it comes down to it, right now it just looks like Seattle are playing better. So I think they're heading into this with some momentum and, like, maybe not caring about any of that, just kind of focused on going out there and trying to control the game.
401-206-0-MLS, that's a hot take hotline. Call or text us. We'll dig into those on Thursday. We've got some good stuff in the mailbag today as well. The one big question mark, I think, on the injury front, I mean, Ozzie Alonso's kind of been up and down all postseason, really, for a lot of the end of the regular season. But it's Jozy Altidore. It's that ankle. It's the injury he suffered with Harrison Offal. I don't know, it was awkward. He came down on him funny, and they went on to score that incredible goal in the second leg of the Eastern Conference Championship. Greg Vanney says Jozy will be ready. They're confident of that, but he is not yet training. He is rehabbing, but he is not yet training. But they think the MRI, the reports, how he's feeling, everything, that's all positive. Meanwhile, Steven Bateshear says no concern at all. Quote, he will play with a cast if he has to. Yeah. No, he won't.
Look, Jozy Altidore is going to play in this game.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
There's not really a discussion to be had. We could talk about what his effectiveness will be, but he's playing this game. We were here with Rodney Wallace and Ethan Finley last week, and it's like, they were, you know, 1,000 miles away, however far, and they were like, they have no idea what the extent of their injuries, but they both seem pretty confident that it didn't look as serious as it could have been, or it didn't look as a serious injury, and they're both like, yeah, he's playing. We would play. Nothing.
I mean, look,
that injury doesn't look like it would be anything that would hinder him from playing in the game. Again, the effectiveness is a question mark.
Yeah, he did not have the time to get it taped. So they will have the time to do everything they need to do to get him in a good spot. And I just can't imagine, with Josie's history in big tournaments, in opportunities that have kind of passed him by because of injury issues, that he would not be on the field for this one. He'll play a huge role. We'll dig into that a little bit more on Thursday, I'm sure of it. There has been a little bit of talk going back and forth already this week. The head coach is going back and forth. But it didn't really pop off the way you might have hoped if you're a neutral or a media member. Greg Vanney got things started. He said Seattle managed what they had to manage in the Western Conference. That's like a really nice way of saying it wasn't that hard. Mm-hmm. He also said that they didn't face the type of intensity that Toronto FC had to put into their games, and that the top five teams in the Shield standings in the East, that makes a difference. Brian Schmetzer, I mean, predictably, he didn't take the bait. This was not a time when he was going to come out really fiery.
Not like the Timber Joey. What did he say Timber Joey was?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I can't remember. Yeah, he's playing.
He's not a true outdoor. True outdoorsman
or something. Yeah. He says, "Look, the pressure's on them. There's no pressure on us. No big deal. Greg's a good guy." He says, "This was a little bit of a side salad this week," which I love that reference. The side salad, like the thing that everybody skips over. It comes at the beginning of the meal, and you're like, "Oh, that could be good. That could no. It's just the side salad. Get it out of here." But what Brian Schmetzer does have is a defense that is absolutely just shutting people down, Doyle. Now, he was helped by red cards against the Dynamo, but here's the numbers on the Sounders right now. 647 minutes in the playoffs going back to last year. That's the shutout streak. 542 straight in 2017. They've got 12 shutouts in their last 18 games across all competitions. Please, please, please tell me we're not looking at 0-0 again. Please.
I would not be at all shocked if this was another 0-0. If you look at how good both of these defenses have been in the playoffs and really the entire second half of the year, especially for the Sounders, and we know how Cup Finals play out. This game, we saw it last year. Both teams were very concerned. I mean, in a lot of ways, more concerned about giving one up than they were about getting one. And that would not shock me at all if it was the same case again. And I mean, the Sounders with Chad Marshall and Roman Torres, they're damn near unbeatable. They just go out there and throw up a zero pretty much every time. And I mean, maybe Jovinko and Josie and Victor Vasquez can break that down, but it's a maybe.
They haven't really been dominant, Toronto FC. They haven't been that team like middle of the season where, you know, home or away, every game you watched them, you thought, hey, this could be 4-0. And when it was 4-0, it could have been 8-0. It's just, right. It's not been that team. And I know you guys talked on the last show about Sebastian Jovinko and whether he is the same player that he was in 2015 or 2016 regular season. I tend to think not. I'm not as afraid when he gets the ball, or I guess I wouldn't be afraid, but I don't have that buzz every time. I know he still makes great plays off the ball. I know he's still super effective, but he's not necessarily the kind of beat you 1v1 or take a game over on his own right now. I'm not sure they need that.
He hasn't done that recently. I think a lot of that, you know, he's not the same player, whatever you say. He's not the same
player. 2015 was insane.
2015, he's gotten scouted. Nobody, I mean, he played for Juventus, but he didn't even play that much for them. It was just the first time that these players were seeing a player of that quality in this league, and they were completely taken by surprise and they didn't know what to do. And now we're 2 years later, they've seen him and they've seen other players of that class in this league, and it just, you get scouted and you start to learn what he wants to do with the ball. I mean, for me, you know, he hasn't been a special player in these playoffs. Of course, he has the goal against the Red Bulls. But he's still scared. If I was a Sounders fan, he still scares me if he's on the ball. By the way, Brian Schmetzer referred to Timmy Jovi as a lumberman.
Good.
Not a lumberman. A true lumberman.
Gotcha. Let's go big picture here and just kind of dig in to what's at stake in this game. Remember, MLS Cup going down on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, Unimas, TSN, and TVA Sports. For Toronto FC, I mean, there's the obvious storylines. Revenge for last year, that 0-0, no shots for Seattle, ends up being a win in penalties. Roman Torres the hero. They got the best MLS team of all time designation at stake. You got to win MLS Cup to get that. Sorry, you just have to. They would be the first team to win an MLS treble as well. And I've seen the chatter on social media. Yeah, I'm awake at like 4 a.m. every night, so I'm trolling down Twitter. I may not be tweeting all the time. And people saying the Canadian Championship doesn't count can GTFO. That's not as easy as it looks, and I'm counting that for Toronto FC. Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, they got to shut up the haters. This is their opportunity to not move away or move on, I don't think, from the U.S. missing the World Cup, but to kind of reaffirm their positions within this little ecosystem. For Toronto, Doyle, what do you see as the main things on the line? How can their legacy change with the win? How will it change with the loss?
I think that the number one thing for this team is they can't be focused on that at all. I think they have to just straight up focus on one game, 90 minutes, maybe 120, and let the legacy play out. Now, we're the type of people who will be assessing and writing columns and doing podcasts and videos about that legacy. And you nailed it, Andrew. You can't be the greatest MLS team of all time if you don't win MLS Cup. They need that for, you know, the personal redemption tour that Bradley and Altidore have to go through. This is a step, and it will matter in Canada. I'm not sure it'll matter too much to U.S. national team fans, but it's certainly something that they're both playing for in a big way. And then I think franchise wide, they've gotten a lot of validation since Tim Bezbachenko took over, and I think that winning this cup in front of 30,000 screaming fans would. Toronto is one of the markets where that would be very, very resonant. And I think it could propel – I mean, this team already has a huge local footprint. I think it could propel that even higher or make it even larger, I guess would be a better way of saying that, in a way that I think they've been waiting for and kind of targeted at. And beyond that, league-wide, it's important to understand that Toronto FC play – domestic players, they give minutes to domestic players more than any other team in the league. They get guys from the draft, they get guys they got Marky Delgado in the contraction draft, they got, or the dispersal draft, I guess we called it. They've gotten guys from the waiver draft, they've gotten guys from their own academy. And there's been a lot of talk about how Atlanta United do business, and I think that's worthwhile because they were so much fun this year, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun going forward. But we have to pay attention to how Toronto FC do business, because what they've done over the last, 24 to 36 months is build from within as much as they've built from without. And I think that has kind of been overlooked a little bit, just how North American this team is.
I would throw a Zavalette out there. I would throw a Haglund out there, guys that they picked up and made something out of. Good players in MLS that are doing a job. And there's a lot of teams around this league that don't have center backs that can get the job done. Those guys are draft picks. Those guys are Americans. Those guys are players that you looked at and said, I don't know if they're going to be an MLS starter, and now they are. And you look at a Drew Moore, you go use free agency. Tim Bezbachenko, for obvious reasons, has gone out and found ways to exploit all the different mechanisms. That's very, very important. That's the crowning moment. That's Toronto FC going from trash to class, so to speak, Ben, because they were trash for a long, long time. But Ron, a Timbers fan out there, says, seriously, Toronto FC, great team, no debate. But what's their legacy if they lose? That would be two straight MLS Cups at home, the bloody big deal, the amount of money they spent on Bradley and Josie and Sebastian Jovinko, all this hoopla. As Doyle said, in market, about Tim Bezbachenko, about their resurgence as a franchise.
I mean,
What if they lose?
I like to look at it on the field, obviously. I think off the field, I think that legacy is kind of already done and dusted, as they're going to be one of the big clubs.
Sure, but what are we going to remember these teams for if they lose this? Because there's no guarantee they get back.
They're in danger of being looked at as like the Revs, the Taylor Twoman, Steve Ralston Revs, as great teams who couldn't get it done in MLS Cup. And the Bills, those kind of teams, they had the talent, they just never got it done. And I think that's fair. I mean, I like the supporter shield. I think that's it should be one of the top one or two goals of every MLS team. But every player that comes in here, every player that I talk to, every player that I mentioned Toronto winning supporter shield over the past month, they're like, yeah, that doesn't really matter that much to us. They're all about MLS Cup. To a man, they're basically all about MLS Cup. They say supporter shield is a nice trophy, but it's not MLS Cup. And if they don't win MLS Cup, that's a significant blemish on the Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, Sebastian Jovinko TFC teams.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's a huge moment for all of Toronto FC. We're going to be paying attention. You got this game at home. You did the work in the regular season. You got the supporter shield, which is all well and good. That one goes in the trophy case. But the real victory there was the home field advantage and another opportunity to get it done in front of your home fans, who for so long were desperate, desperate, desperate for success. I expect it to be an amazing crowd. I don't expect Seattle to be really rattled by that crowd. If we're looking at what's at stake for the Sounders, back-to-back. I mean, look, back to back is that's 2 years of just I don't know, glory that not many other MLS teams can match. You're looking at the LA Galaxy of late, DC United back in the day, but it's really one of those things that will create your legacy for you, whether it be Brian Schmetzer or Garth Lagerwey, or if you look at a guy like Chad Marshall or Roman Torres, whose legacy is growing by the day, or a Christian Roldan, up and down this roster. Oh, don't give me that. Don't wave your hand at me with Christian Roldan. Doubter.
Putting those people, maybe not Roman Torres, but putting those first three names you put up there and then saying Christian Roldan, I just, nah.
Hater.
Garth
straight up
if
hater.
If Seattle wins this cup, Garth Lagerwey, I mean, he's, what, the best GM of all time in MLS history?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, he's in the conversation.
But he's in the conversation. Smetzer becomes one of the best MLS coaches of all time.
Wow. Chad
Martin.
Two MLS cups?
Most decorated.
Three of the coaches that have that?
Yeah, I know, but like, he was an interim coach into it last
year. Most successful MLS coaches of all time.
It doesn't matter what we say. It would be two MLS cup wins on your resume, and like Brian Schmetzer would be, you know, a certain finger in the air to anybody who would doubt him at that point. I talked a lot about this team and their quote-unquote dynasty status. I think if they win this, I think you can put them in a dynasty.
Yeah.
Because since 2014, it would be Shield, Open Cup, two times MLS Cup, which is the big one there. And then CCL is still TBD, and this is a team that could make a run in that competition. And if they were to go win CCL, who knows? It's never been done. Obviously, we know that. Then easy dynasty. I think with the cup, they're a dynasty as well. JB hit us up on the hot take hotline. He absolutely agrees, although he takes it back to 9 straight playoffs, which that's no. Get out of here with that. It would be from 2014 on.
This is like the Dempsey era Sounders. You can't go back before that.
Yeah. Speaking of Dempsey, Clint Dempsey's got it all to play for. You mentioned the Revs. He was a part of a lot of those teams. He was not a part of this team last year on the field. He was, of course, a part of the team within the organization. He had the issues with his heart, and we're so thankful that he's fine. He's come back. He's been the Clint Dempsey we know, which is he's pretty efficient in front of goal. He scores big ones. He's always dangerous. This is an opportunity. This is what's at stake for Clint Dempsey, Doyle, is, you know, part of his legacy, to get an MLS Cup that he was the primary player for that particular team.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on last week's show a little bit, I guess.
Do you think he doesn't care, or do you think it doesn't matter to his legacy?
I mean, it matters a little bit. It's like a marginal fringe type of thing. But Clint Dempsey is going to be remembered as one of the all-time greats for the U.S. national team, and I think an all-time great in MLS as well. Obviously, I'm sure he's dying to win. It's Clint Dempsey. He dies to win a game of dominoes. It's just how he's wired. But I don't see this as this big existential moment for you know, how we discuss Clint Dempsey 5 years from now or 10 years from now or down the line. I think most of his story has already been written.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I think for Seattle, I think Brian Schmetzer's right. They really are playing with house money. They already got the championship. They won it last year. Toronto sees the team with all this pressure on them. So when we're talking about, okay, what's at stake if they lose? What's their legacy if they lose, Ben? I think it's as a great team that lost to the best team, MLS team of all time. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be something that you look back in history and be like, well, Seattle Sounders really choked it out there, unless the game dictates that sort of storyline and narrative, which I just don't see happening with the personnel they have.
I think it's going to be, I don't see this being a blowout in any way or shape or form. I think it's more about cementing their legacies as, you know, great players, great team, more than it's going to hurt any kind of legacy. I mean, I was just looking at Chad Marshall. Chad Marshall, three-time Defender of the Year, two MLS Cups, four Supporter Shields. You had another MLS Cup to that. You know, this is going to be tough to beat ever in any MLS history for a defender. I mean,
Chad Marshall has already had the greatest career of any defender in MLS history.
And it would just add another MLS Cup,
interesting, because a lot of people would look at Chad Marshall and like look at him as a guy who didn't make as much of his career, especially on the international level, as he maybe could have. And as a guy who is like one of the most talented soccer players they've ever been around, like soccer players within this league, like he just doesn't get the respect that he deserves because he's kind of quiet, at least in the public eye. Mm-hmm. But this would be, I think, a coronation for him as the best MLS defender of all time. And he's still got some legs. So 2018, 2019, you never know what's going to happen. The big game, MLS Cup, going down on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, Unimas, TSN, TVA Sports, all the coverage on MLSsoccer.com. Remember, MLS Cup Central is going down Wednesday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We've got Tim Melia, Dax McCarty, Diego Valeri, Julian Gressel, Aiko Parra in studio, and then also Doyle and myself. You like us, but those guys are the main event. And then pregame and postgame shows on Saturday around the game. Hit us up on the Hot Take Hotline, 401-2060-MLS. The tactical breakdown is coming on Thursday. We're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratimeradio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Some of y'all nice, but the rest paid the stage. I get blood on my mic when I press these MCs. We be keeping it real, that's how we feel. What the deal? Oh, you think you got skill? Y'all not ill, hey, son. Some of y'all nice.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. I am Andrew Wiebe, hanging out in the literal green room here at the MLS Digital Studios. With me, Ben the Research Bear, Ben Bear, the King of Takes, and out in the octagon, Matt Doyle. We talked about MLS Cup, of course. That's going down on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Unimas, TSN, TVA Sports. MLS Cup Central is right here on MLSsoccer.com and YouTube. Check it out. We have some great guests, including Tim Melia, Dax McCarty, Diego Valeri, Julian Gressel, and Ike Opara. If you want to win an official MLS match ball, go to MLSsoccer.com/playoffs. Give us a question, a comment, something we can use on the show. If we use that, you will be entered to win. There's an MLS match ball stuck to the wall in front of me, so I don't know if we're going to pull that down, but you'll get one. It'll be awesome. Let's jump into some rumors. Let's jump into some general MLS scuttlebutt. But first, the Landon Donovan MLS MVP award goes to Diego Valeri, which surprises, I figure, absolutely no one, considering he got 50.71% of the vote, over 50% from the club side, from the media side, and the player side was 45%. Nobody got more than 9.5% of the player vote. That was David Villa, who was the 2016 winner. Of course, Diego Valeri, I don't have to tell you much about his resume this year. 21 goals, 11 assists, just the second player in the league's 22-year history to record 20 and 10 in the same year. 32 combined goals and assists, tied for fifth most in a single season. Of course, Sebastian Giovinco was the other 20-10, 22-16 in 2015. David Villa had 22-9 this year, so he almost got there. You'll also remember that all-time MLS record for consecutive games with a goal, 9 straight games from July 29th to September 24th. And, of course, he won, and he won cute, Doyle, which is what Diego Valeri does because he just seems like a good guy. He's the sort that you just want to hang out with and ask him about life and ask him about the books he's reading and ask him how he's raising his daughter, Connie. He had a bunch of videos that came out after he won this thing of him telling his daughter of all these well wishes. This is a combination of good player, good guy, right decision.
Right decision. Yeah, no doubt about this decision at all. I think the only surprise is that, it wasn't a more commanding victory. It could have been maybe not as big as Giovinco's was in 2015, but probably up there with Wando in 2012 when he got somewhere around 70% of the vote. Valeri basically LeBroned Portland to the top of the Western Conference during the regular season. He was a one-man wrecking crew when everybody on that team got injured. They needed him to score big goal after big goal, and he did that during the toughest part of the season as the injuries hit hardest. I think it was a 13-game stretch. He ended up scoring 11 goals and adding 4 assists. That's what the MVP is supposed to do. You do nothing except tip your cap and say the guy was phenomenal and hope for Portland fans' sake that he could do it again next season.
This was a no-doubter. Valeri deserves it. Valeri was the best player in MLS this year. Best player. The only thing surprising me, you look at the votes. And Michael Bradley finishes sixth in this. Didn't get best 11. We talked about how ridiculous that is.
Yeah, it was completely
ridiculous. He gets 9.5% of the club vote, which is TDs and coaches. And he gets 0% from the players.
I saw that. It doesn't surprise me, though, because you can only put two names.
Yeah, I don't understand how there's so many people. I mean, to me, it was the top. Valeri was always going to be the first or second on any ballot, right? And then I can't believe all these other guys got this amount of votes.
I mean, I can see Miguel Marrón, who got 5.86. Jovinko, a little bit surprising to me, he got 7.69. But I think that goes to players looking at him
and saying, he's the best player in the league.
Like, unstoppable force, that sort of recognition. Nikolic, because of his golden boot and everything else, he got almost 7%. Joseph Martinez, same thing for the players. I think they just looked at him and says, God, well, he's a monster.
That's absurd.
But
that
is absurd.
That's
absolutely absurd. But players aren't. Even more, you look at club and media, they didn't vote at that level. And they're looking at probably total contribution, and they're not saying you didn't play the whole season, so this doesn't count for you. Victor Vasquez also snuck into this one as well. You're looking at three Toronto players in there and no Jozy Altidore in what is the top eight. So that's pretty good for Toronto. I know a lot of people have been complaining about the fact that they don't have an individual award winner. But to me, that's not what this team is about.
I think it was easier for coaches and technical directors. I think maybe in some sort of way, maybe they're kind of biased. Look, this is the best team in the league. Who's the best player in that team this year? I would say it's Michael Bradley. I think a lot of coaches and TDs probably said the same thing. Maybe the players – I think the players voted for Jovinko, as we said, because they see him and they say this is the most talented guy in the league. He didn't have the best numbers this year, but he's the most talented guy, and that's why people vote for him.
I also think
it's absurd too, but
– I think that, coaches and technical directors look at this as who's a guy that we would want to build our team around. And I think most coaches and technical directors start – with the center of the pitch, start with the guy who holds it all together. And that's a defensive midfielder. And there's no question Michael Bradley was the best defensive midfielder in the league this year. And that explains, I think, why he was third in the club vote, but didn't rate for either the media or the players.
His legacy, and I know you're sitting at home like, why are you guys talking about legacy so much? But this is a time in which this happens, and he's a player who has a complicated one. It's going to be very interesting to see how he's remembered, to see how folks look back at the entirety of his career and kind of take stock of things.
I remain
puzzled as to how he's gotten such a bad rap, but he's so polarizing that he's just one of those guys, either you love him or you hate him, and there's not a lot of middle ground, it doesn't feel like.
The fans have cemented his legacy for him, I think, at this point. I mean, I don't
you
agree
think
with
this
it.
Is cemented with the booze and with the World Cup. I
if
mean,
you talk to any U.S. soccer fan who's not may not be into MLS that much, just a casual somebody watches all the USA games.
That's a good point.
Somebody who knows Michael Bradley. I mean, 90% of them do not like him, especially after this.
Yep,
at least 90%.
Time to win a title, and
And also, if you are a media member and you voted Joseph Martinez first or second MVP, let me know. I want to know who you are. I wish this was like the NBA and I could see these. Dude doesn't play in half the games and you're going to vote him
MVP.
You know
what? That actually is a good idea. If we could create like some sort of website where as you scroll over these different numbers, shots pop up, headshots. And so you can like curse whoever it might
be. The NBA puts out all the votes. FIFA does it for World Player of the Year, et cetera.
Transparency.
I want
in MLS.
Transparency in these media votes.
I'm in. I'm down with that. I think we go all the way and go player and club votes too. Just make it an open season and then really rip into people once the offseason hits. Speaking of the offseason, the schedule gets hectic after MLS Cup. It always does. Monday, December 12th. That's the expansion draft. LAFC going to grab five players. Free agency begins on that day as well. Remember, that's 28-year-olds with at least 8 years of MLS service. Tuesday, that's the waiver draft. Friday, reentry draft stage one. That's players 23 or 24 with 3-plus years of service, 25-plus with 4 to 7. And then Thursday, the 21st, is reentry draft stage two when all the action actually happens because you can renegotiate a little
bit. That's not necessarily true.
It's generally true.
Wasn't Dylan Remick taken in the reentry draft?
Are you kidding me?
Stage
are you
one?
Coming with
the guy who scored the goal to get them into MLS to the Western Conference Championship?
I mean, come on.
What?
One player? Okay.
What?
Look,
Dylan Remick, second pick in reentry draft stage one.
Good memory. Look, this year the waiver draft might actually have some players, Doyle. In the past, it's kind of been a miss. It's just
there was nobody. There was nobody picked in the waiver
people
draft.
People just kind of ignore it. You had a nice column that I enjoyed while I was, up in the middle of the night doing whatever I was doing. Yeah, I'm actually really good at changing diapers now. I'm the go-to diaper changer at our house, and my son, his place in his mother's mind is largely determined by how big of a dump he takes. The larger the dump, the prouder she is of Cameron Russell. So, we've got a scale going here. Big dumps to get you a 10 on the mother proud scale. Just Sorry. I have like a one-track mind right now.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
All right,
this.
So you had an interesting column. It was your best 11 of available guys in these different mechanisms, Doyle. So give people an idea of who they're looking at as this free agency, waiver draft, reentry all starts to hit.
Yeah, I mean, some of the names for reentry would be like David Bingham, who had a miserable season this year, lost his starting job, but I think no question he's an MLS starter caliber keeper. Andrew Farrell, potentially right back from New England, who I think, again, in the right situation, he's been a starter for the last 5 years, and I think he could be for a lot of places going forward. Very interesting one would be Matias Laba, potential reentry draft. He was a DP and then a TAM player for the Caps. I don't see why they would bring him back, given the investments they've made in new defensive midfielders. Dylan Powers, another guy as well. Teal Bunbury, who had a very good year for the Revs. Jose Villarreal, who never quite made it for the Galaxy. And then there are free agents. I mean, the three guys for RSL would be Nick Raimondo, Kyle Beckerman, and Chris Winger. I think the first two of those guys will resign. Alan Gordon's a free agent again. And then, you know, you get to like waiver draft, which is usually a non-starter, but Gideon Ba from the Red Bulls might be interesting. Kip Colvey, left back, seldom used for the Quakes. I think he's an MLS caliber player.
You mean future Rapids defender?
Yeah, future Rapids. Yeah. Yeah, 100% chance he signs with the Rapids because he played for Anthony Hudson for New Zealand, right?
Yeah,
yes. him and Bill Tuiloma.
We will get to the Rapids in just a second. Has anybody else been inundated with the Instagram ad of Chris Wingert modeling a pair of pants? I don't know how they figured out that like I'm an MLS person other than like, checking my follower.
Well, maybe because you buy pants a lot.
I don't know.
I don't buy pants, so I'm a bear.
You're not a big pants guy?
Okay. I'm a bear. I don't buy pants, so I don't get these.
Anyway, I've been inundated by Chris Wingert, like, swinging a golf club, looking at the screen and saying, like, these pants you can wear anywhere. I don't know if anybody else has had that experience.
Matias Laba also coming off a torn ACL, so yeah, he's probably out the first couple of months of the season.
Some news around MLS here. If we're talking about some of those different mechanisms, Greg Garza was a guy that might have been in those, but Atlanta went and re-signed him to a multi-year deal, so congrats to him. Also reports out there that Franco Escobar is done and dusted from Newell's Old Boys. He's a 22-year-old, I should say, defender, can play center back or right back, is predominantly a center back, I think. So a guy for the future. It sounds like 5-year deal-ish, two options on the end of that, so 3 plus 2, you know how those things go. Also some rumors out there, Ezequiel Barco, an attacking midfielder with Independiente, who's worth a lot of money, who's very, very good, 18 years old. Rumors are that Atlanta might pay $14 million for him. And with most teams, you just, like, write that off. With Atlanta, you're like, oh, okay.
Two things to that last one. One is, it sounds like somebody asked him about it. It sounds like he wants to stay at Independiente. Second of all, for that to happen, they would have to sell either Almiron, Martinez, or Villalba, because none of those guys are going to fit under TAM. So one of them would have to be gone. So before
Wait a minute. Villalba would fit under TAM.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Tito.
They paid a transfer fee for him. I don't see how that's possible.
More transparency in MLS transactions. We need more transparency, just generally. But look, I mean, it's plausible with them just because of their outlay. So pay attention to what Atlanta are doing. I think the Franco Escobar one is interesting. Right back is a spot that I feel like they could fill admirably in a different way this year. I know Tyrone Mears was not the answer. The kid from Spurs was Walks. Anton Walks okay.
Is not, as far as, he's not on the team right now. We don't know. We haven't heard anything about if he's going to come back
or
not.
He did re-sign with Tottenham, though.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's back, to be honest, but right now he's not. He's not currently on the roster.
Let's get back to the Rapids. Anthony Hudson, of course, is official. He says they will most likely play a 3-5-2, that he wants another striker. He likes Marlon Harrison at right wing back. I think a lot of us share that opinion. Edgar Castillo is also rumored to be signing with them, 31-year-old. You know him from the U.S. national team, Tijuana, a bunch of different clubs in Mexico. That would be a left wing back, you would expect, Doyle. But I don't think it's a surprise that a lot of managers or a lot of teams are playing this 3-5-2 now. Copycats are everywhere in professional sports. Toronto FC kind of made their bread and butter with it, although they've been a little bit variable with formation recently.
Not just Toronto FC.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of teams are doing the same
thing. Chelsea,
yeah.
You know, champions of across the world.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Copycats.
Yes.
So is this the next kind of tactical stage in MLS where everybody shifts to this wingback formation or everybody tries to?
Yes, but I think that we're going to see the progressions happen a little bit quicker in MLS now than they have in years past. And I think that's just because the league is getting a little bit more worldly in terms of the players and the coaches, and because it's getting better. If you have better players, you could try more and different things in terms of your setup. And there's no better example of that than the Red Bulls, who, you know, came into the season playing the 4-2-2-2 and then went back to the 4-2-3-1 and then eventually switched to like a 3-3-3-1. And then in the playoffs, they played a diamond midfield, except the point of the diamond wasn't a playmaker. So you can try more different things when you have better and more players. So I do expect teams to all have a default formation, but I do expect them to play around a little bit. And it's worth remembering back in the day, I mean, the 3-5-2 dominated the 80s. And then Arrigo Sacchi brought the 4-4-2 back, a very compact and tight sort of boilerplate 4-4-2. So every formational action has an equal and opposite reaction. The interesting thing will be the timeline to see how quick these reactions happen going forward.
Some more news. Sao Paulo apparently rejected a $1.5 million bid for Artur, which seems like
for half of our tour,
which seems like a strange move on their part.
Wait, for half of him?
Yeah, for half.
How
of
does that
half
work?
His rights. I mean, you know,
down the middle, like down the middle,
yeah, straight down the middle,
top to bottom, or side to side.
That's hard to. I don't think either of those things, but that seems strange to me. But that's too bad for the crew. We'll see what happens with them. I think they had a great season, a great run. I mentioned the Red Bulls. Reports out there that they are apparently bid or will bid or might have bid. Who knows? $1.7 million for a 22-year-old Romanian attacking midfielder, Alex Ionita of FC Astra Giurgiu. I definitely didn't say that one right, but
I'm gonna bet on you saying that. Right.
Alexandru Ionita the second, which is pretty dope. He's 22. He had 8 goals and 17 starts so far this year. He got his first cap for Romania in a World Cup qualifier against Poland. Do you buy this, Doyle?
Yeah, I do. Because I know their scouting system in Europe is pretty deep, and
they did loan a bong to this team, by the way.
What's that?
Abong got loaned to this team. So they've had.
Well, there you go. That does make some sense. Yeah. So what I'm going to ask is for any of our listeners there who speak Romanian, please call in and give us the correct pronunciation of both this young man's name and the name of his club. Andrew, hit him with the number.
401-206-0-MLS. You'll notice that what Doyle did there is he avoided any opportunity to actually say that himself because he's a troll and he piles on to people who actually take risks. So that's what's up. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's 100% true, knowing how we know Doyle.
I don't think I'm a troll. I think,
oh,
honestly,
really?
I think millennials are soft. I think you guys just can't handle the heat that older generations bring.
It's not heat.
And I'm trying to work. Yeah, I'm trying to work you guys.
Pronunciation
out of your
is dying because of millennials.
It's not
like
heat,
Applebee's
it's,
and chain restaurants and everything
else. It's intentionally messing with us.
Yeah, well, that's fun. It turns out to be pretty fun. Christian Dyer also out here reporting. Kevin Baxter confirming LA Galaxy open to moving Giassi's Artis, the 26-year-old, of course, homegrown for the LA Galaxy, had that great year with Kino and LD and had a not-so-great year this year, which basically applies to most of that roster. He's got 131 games played in MLS, 34 goals, 17 assists. Of course, in 2014, his second year, 16-2. Dyer saying D.C., Columbus, Vancouver, possible destinations. Jeff Reuter saying Minnesota United might be a good spot. What do we think about this? It felt like they moved him to right back, for God's sake. So it just
– Minnesota United need another winger, just for the record. Because they always need –
they don't have enough
wingers.
Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
Okay. This is unsurprising that they would be open to moving him after they – pulled him out of the central part of the attacking part of the field and tried him out of a position he's never played before. Who would take a chance on him, though? Who should take a chance on him? Will something happen?
I wouldn't take a chance on him and his contract number. I mean, he makes almost $600,000, and he's not, you know, they decided that he's not a forward. When he's a winger, he works hard, but he's not productive as a winger. He's not one of these guys who could come in off the wing and figure out how to be goal dangerous. And so why would you want that? So you're going to spend $600,000 for a guy who you might have to convert to right back?
And also who's like low on the confidence scale right now and had an injury last year that kept him out for long periods. I mean, this is one that he may just have to dig out on his own. You know?
Yeah, he really might have to. And the Galaxy might have to, you know, they might have to go into this season with him playing at center forward to try to either, you know, rehabilitate his confidence or rehabilitate his trade value. Because right now, like you said, both are very – very low, and at that contract, like, he's not a max. You know, the 2014 Jossie Zardes was a max salary player. He really was, but that's 4 years ago now, and I don't see anybody taking a chance on him. Nobody in their right mind, anyway.
One to watch. The Caps were mentioned with him. They did sign a forward, Venezuela international, and I say international. I mean, it's a little bit tenuous there. He has one cap. Anthony Blondell, he's a 23-year-old from Antagas SC, 23 goals and 33 starts. He won the Golden Boot in Venezuela. This is the time of year where signings happen and you watch a lot of like highlight videos, which I did with this guy. It was pretty fun, pretty impressive. We'll see if he is the solution for the Whitecaps. Of course, Freddie Montero, as we talked about over and over and over, was really the shining light, one of the only shining lights for them in a goal-scoring, creative, attacking, you know, chances created since this year. And he's got a little bit of a weird situation given that he has another year on his contract in China and he's owed a lot of money. So we'll see what happens with that one. This signing I like in the sense that it is a young, upcoming attacker from a league that's...
Is he the next Octavio Rivera or is he...
Exactly.
You have no idea.
Right.
So, I mean, we could say, you know,
it's a gamble. That's
it's
what it
definitely
is.
It's a gamble. It's a potentially promising signing. If he comes in, he does well. Guess what? Not only do you have a striker who's performing for you, but maybe he's has a sell-on potential with him. He could also just be a complete flop. We honestly have no idea. We don't know anything about this guy. Not going to try and sell you on anything.
Right.
I don't know anything.
Class or trash, we will determine that after the course of the 2018 season.
We'll do it. We'll give him at least 10 games, though, because then we thought Octavio Rivera was class. Turned out to be somewhere in between mediocre and trash after a while.
One guy who's definitely not mediocre or trash, Mitch Hildebrandt, he signed with Atlanta United. So congratulations to him, the USL Goalkeeper of the Year. Let us know if you have some rumors you want us to talk about, some signings, whatever it may be. All your queries go one place, 401-206-0MLS. That's the Hot Take Hotline. We're going to go to break. On the other side, Jermaine Jones is starting a radio show. He's now our competitor.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
But I'm feeling for your energy. Snap out it when I'm sober. You used to be my lovely. With them lovely days is over. Oh, oh, oh. Hungover Sunday love.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. We're into the mailbag, 401-206-0MLS. Call us or text us or email us, extratime@mlssoccer.com. For the banter, for the LOLs, Jermaine Jones starting a radio show. He's going to take his Instagram live rants to a different medium. He says, hey, guys, I'm starting my own radio show. I'm looking for the most knowledgeable soccer fan, man or woman who lives in L.A. as my co-host. DM my boy with your resume. I, for one, am extremely excited about this. Just for the potential of crazy things to be said. And we know the man will tell stories, will get you behind the curtain. It is a question as to what his motivations are sometimes, whether things are completely true, completely false, or coming straight from Jermaine Jones's perspective, wherever that may be. I'm excited about this.
I mean, it's like, honestly, I think it's a good thing. We want ex-pros, assuming that his career is over, we want ex-pros to still be around the game. We want them to have their say. And like, I've never been a big fan of Jermaine on the field. And I think that some of his opinions are ridiculous, but that's fine. We want people talking about soccer. We want people interested in soccer. And Jermaine Jones having a radio show would, you know, be another venue for that. So I'm all aboard, man. I like Jermaine Jones pundit as a future in American soccer.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. Like, he's got some wheelhouses here. He's definitely going to probably, like, rag on American players and MLS players. He's probably going to hit you with some vegan recipes. I might call into his show for some parenting advice because the man has raised, like, a
clearly
huge
knows what he's doing.
Family. He knows what's up there. Like, his kids are
– how to get a quality tattoo.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. What else? What else? If we're calling into his hot take hotline, Ben, what would you elicit? What would you be going for? What would your first question be?
I would want to know how to be everywhere in the field, but nowhere in particular.
Oh, man,
Jermaine, Jermaine. Your 2014 World Cup, you could not have been any better. Just for the record, you were great. Just this season kind of puts a stain.
I mean,
right
whoa,
now.
the first two games, he kind of no showed against Germany and
everybody no showed against Germany.
Yeah,
including like half the players' families, by the way. Jermaine did say he's done with the Galaxy. Quote, they didn't let me be myself, which I hope that this radio show does. Also for the Wolves, a headline on MLSsoccer.com report, Klinsmann interested in Australia job. I thought the Big Sam stuff was all a bunch of hooey until he got a job at Everton. So who knows? I mean,
the Big Sam stuff was playing this non-offer from the U.S. against English teams and then saying, oh, I may go to the U.S. and then he's not going to the U.S.
Yeah, real nuanced negotiators.
Same thing. We saw another Laurent Blanc from his agent saying the U.S. is interested. Oh, it's shocking. You would say that? Laurent Blanc's agent? I'm shocked that you would try and say that.
Klinsmann, no love for agents from Ben.
I think Jossie Zardes should put in a call to Klinsmann and try and get him a job. And, you know.
that's not a bad idea.
Klinsmann loves Jossie Zardes. You know that. He likes playing on the wing.
I'm flashing back to Argentina in Copa America scenario.
2015 and 2016, 19 times he played him?
Yeah, he played him a lot. We got you rolling right now, Ben, so it's Baron Tee time. I heard that Dave has not been pushing you for
Baron
Tees.
No, we've had to pick up the slack of like the total show, so the Baron Tees have kind of fallen by the way.
Also,
I'm just excessively
tired. By the way, I got a
times.
Text from Dave this morning because – he said, yes. I said, hey, I'm running late. I slept for 2 hours last night. And he said something basically along the lines of, you were the least efficient person I've ever met, and now it's going to be on steroids. So he's lucky I didn't slap him when I walked in.
I was the least efficient?
Me. So yeah. You guys have just been ragging on me in my absence.
Because we've just been grinding. We just put the shows out, you know.
Okay, give me the
recording at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Get to the Baron Tee.
You know, before the season, I picked Seattle to win MLS Cup, mostly as a troll move. And then before
that worked out for you.
Before this playoffs, I actually didn't follow up on that, and I just picked Toronto against Portland in the MLS Cup. I'm going to go back to my original selection and pick Seattle to win MLS Cup, Baron Tee.
Very convenient. Seattle, the MLS Cup winners. A man who specializes in Sounders-related Baron Tees, Ben the Research Bear. Let us know what you think. Hit us up with your predictions. I don't want scores. I don't want, like, oh, Seattle's going to win. Not like this, like, lame Baron Tee we just got. Give me something fun, something for us to dig into. 401-206-0MLS. Speaking of,
I put an entire fan base coming is going to be coming after me as soon as
true.
The show's posted.
You know how I know I've been forgotten? Here's Richie in Seattle. Dear Ben, Dave, and Matt. What the? 3 weeks. 3 weeks I'm gone on paternity leave,
time.
Caring for
it's
another
not just three
human
weeks.
Being.
It's 3 weeks during the MLS Cup playoffs.
No, it wasn't. It was during half of the international break. This baby was timed brilliantly. International break, and then like two games, second legs. It wasn't like
out of sight, out of mind.
Couldn't have been better. He says, guys, is Josie's time done in MLS? Regardless if TFC win the cup, which they won't because Seattle has bigger playmakers coming off the bench, will Josie return to Europe? He's got some reasoning here. He says Josie left Sunderland and came to MLS to regain his form, excluding the salary reasons, which are pretty big reasons, and be a star player. Josie has proven that he can sell in MLS. So here's reason one to leave. Josie won't be missed by anybody except Toronto fans. I'm a big Josie guy, but many MLS fans do not turn out to see him play. Reason two, he's still in his prime and foreign teams will want him. Reason three, with the right club, Bundesliga maybe, he could excel. Reason four, if he excels in Europe, it will prove to the American fan base and possibly the new coach that he is still relevant and should be included in the national team's future. Now, I don't think Josie's going anywhere.
Nah.
But that's my response to that entire thing. There's some interesting takes.
Didn't Josie
happening.
Say after they got to MLS Cup that Toronto's going to be his last team?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did. I'm like 90. I mean, it's a
Are you
going to
guarantee that? You're going to guarantee that? Oh, man.
By the way, this is how all of our conversations go outside of the show, is yeah, I say this, something.
This is definitely, definitely entered your life lexicon. I don't think that's going to happen for Josie. He's got a big chance here, though. Ed in Hartford, Connecticut says, no neutral fan wants to see Seattle win another MLS Cup, signed everyone. Does that jive with your understanding of the neutral fan, Doyle?
No, because I think a lot of otherwise neutral American fans hate Bradley and Josie so much. They don't want to see those guys win. So I think even Seattle, who are not a beloved team by neutrals, even Seattle would be preferable to that. So I think there's a lot of people who are going to be hate watching this game for different reasons.
MLS neutral hell, this game. MLS Cup, 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. ESPN, ESPN Deportes, Unimas, TSN, TVA Sports, all the coverage right here on MLSsoccer.com. Of course, MLS Cup Central shows are going down Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Half hour of analysis with myself, Matt Doyle, Tim Mealy is going to be in the studio, Dax McCarty, Diego Valeri, Julian Gressel, and Ike Opara as well. In case you're counting at home, that's the goalkeeper of the year, the MVP, the rookie of the year, and the defender of the year. And Dax McCarty is he's pretty good too. So that ought to be a lot of fun. Before we get out of here, guys, question answer time, fatherhood, anything? I mean, I just want to throw it out there. I did try to sneak the nip to Cameron Russell just to see.
You really just
to
that
see
on the show?
I just wanted to see, like, I, you know, like, if he would, he wouldn't, he wasn't.
You really
about
just said that,
that I did
on,
yeah,
on
life's gotten weird
hear?
Life's gotten really, really weird for me recently. Not gonna
clearly
lie, I don't sleep, I like,
you don't see me,
I barely shower.
Yeah this is, I haven't seen Weeby in
it has been the longest in probably 5 years that I haven't seen either you or Dave.
That seems like a pretty good thing.
Wait, they haven't dropped by? Uncle Ben and Uncle Dave?
No, first 2 months are like no riffraff, and then after that we'll open the gates up a little more, but
plus that's like really far away for me.
It is, yeah. It's like, all the way out in Brooklyn. I mean,
it's like probably takes an hour and a half maybe to get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, knowing that New York City is
it's like
system.
The equivalency of going to Harrison. Like, it's like coming to see.
Oh, by the way,
I
did go to the Jets game yesterday. The New York Jets win, great.
In which Ben reports multiple people in his section
fell down
multiple like levels of the stadium.
Pretty great stuff, including someone wearing a Neymar jersey at a Jets game, because that makes sense.
Probably sounds like a flop. Sounds
took
like a
about,
flop to me.
Took about 2 hours to get home. It takes me about hour and a half max to get home from RBA. I don't want to hear anybody complain about going to Red Bull Arena if you live in the New York City area anymore. Because you go to Jets games, you go to Giants games, you can go to Red Bull Arena. It's so much easier.
And thus we end on a New York sports rant from Ben, the research bear. The king of takes. That's it for us. Make sure to check out the game on Saturday. Of course, we'll be back on Thursday with the nitty-gritty breakdown of the tactics. Any questions, comments, whatever you have, hot takes, 401-206-0-MLS. Call us or text us. We will have some of the who's who of the MLS award winners on the show as well. So maybe they'll answer your questions.
Also, I'll be in Toronto all week. I'll be asking coaches, players questions. If you have any questions for them, hit me up. Let me know what you want me to ask.
Or if you
want to
have a beer with this man.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you going to associate with the people?
I mean, I would love to associate with the people. There's not really much time at these events to associate with the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's it for us. Thanks for listening. Next Time Radio, driven by Continental. We'll be back on Thursday.